If you're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums, is here before you die. For this episode, we'll be talking about Julian Cope, Peggy Suicide. In the room, I have Anne.
Hey.
Rob.
Christine.
And on the line, I have Ben.
Idiot son of Donkey Kong.
And Kyle.
I wanted to say Donkey Kong.
Peggy Suicide is the seventh album by Julian Cope. It was released on the 22nd of April, 1991, on the Island record label. The producer was Julian Cope and Donald Ross Skinner. And the genre is post-punk. I'm going to read from the book, Manish Argwal. Post-punk renaissance man Julian Cope is the foremost cult artist in contemporary British music. Having piloted Liverpool's new wave chart stars, The Teardrop Explodes, through five turbulent years, he embarks on a multifaceted solo career in 1984 with the release of two very English psych pop LPs, the upbeat World Shut Your Mouth and the pastoral Syd Barrett influence Fried. Neither record sold well, but Cope achieved a monochrome of transatlantic chart success by pursuing a more arena-friendly direction in the second half of the decade. Then, dissatisfied by this compromise, he underwent a spectacularly creative rebirth. A loosely themed double album highlighting issues relating to both environmental and social justice, Peggy Suicide was trailed by two funky UK hits, the piano trumpet-laden Beautiful Love and low-slung Hammond-grooved East Easy Rider. However, these were part of a much broader tapestry spanning Gonzoid, Krautrock, hanging out and hung up on the line, lysergic balladry, pristine political sound collage in Western Front 1992, and anthemic rock and roll drive, she said. The crowning glory is Safe Surfer, a widescreen meditation on unprotected sex that boasts thrilling guitar features. Cope's sprawling 1992 heathen masterpiece, Genova Kill, marked the end of the Island contract, but he continues to explore everything from ambient moogscapes to thunderous proto-metal via his own label, Head Heritage. All right, what do we think of Julian Cope, Peggy Suicide?
I think I discovered a new favorite artist this week, is what I think.
Masterpiece.
Oh, nice.
That's great.
Yeah. You guys remember Teardrop Explodes, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked this.
I'm so into it. This first track, Pristine, it reminds me a lot of some like the John Cale stuff we were hearing on like Berlin 1919, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So right out of the gate, like with the Velvet Underground, Krautrock type stuff right out of the gate, I was already, I'm like, okay, like, let's see what we've got two discs of this. And he's exploring on these two discs. It reminds another thing that it reminds me a little bit of just in its like self-exploration is that Skip Spence Orr album, which I was also a big, big fan of just a guy with like, he's really not putting any kind of box on what type of record he's making here. He's just like, it's like he's just hitting record and creating, and it works more often than it doesn't work for me. And I admire the approach and I admire so much about it. And I've loved listening to this week.
Yeah, I agree. The willing to explore the room for this album is wonderful. You just don't know what the next song's going to be. It's like, okay. Yeah. And I got the same sort of, Lou Reed vibes too, you know, just the like, where are we going with this? Like, where is this heading? Velvet Underground has a very, I like them so much because each song can kind of be a unique element, and it can have these like psychedelic freakouts, or it can be just a normal rock song, and he's bringing it all, and it's all pretty good. I don't think there was one song on here that I was not it, you know, didn't find something engaging about.
Funnily enough, I only didn't star one song on this, and it was the one that he released as a single first on two discs worth of material. Which 18 one? Tracks.
Was it Safe Surfer?
East Easy Rider. And I don't hate it. It just it was not East a standout Easy track for me. Like it just, I don't know. It just kind of like, it never jumped out and grabbed me.
It was the most sort of like straight ahead though.
It had, Ever Done has some hippie vibes. So, which I was expecting to not like this because I feel like there is some of that. It's so exploratory that it feels a little psychedelic and like that kind of, like pursuing a jam, but like it's in a way it's approachable to me, like a Lou Reed or a John Cale, right? It's like something that I like in spite of myself.
Right now we're listening to track 2, Double Vegetation, and when he kicks in, when the vocals kick in for the hook, this song really reminds me of The Who.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tommy era Who.
Good call.
Thanks.
No, it's everything about it is just very, very well done.
Yeah. It's a 7th studio album. I think it's considered where he establishes his sound, which is kind of amazing, right? Took 7 albums, but...
Yeah. So some people called it his mature psycho shaman phase. But it's also a very, they call it a very tidy pop record.
It is. It's both. It's existing in both camps somehow.
Oh, yeah, I dug it a whole bunch. I was really into The Teardrop Explodes. That was like one of my favorite discoveries over the past couple of years of doing this podcast. So to kind of hear this guy strip his sound down and kind of zero in on stuff that was important to him. And because, yeah, I looked up the meanings to like all of his songs.
Yep.
From Julian Cope's mouth. And it was really interesting. Because we had a few weeks with this record, so I listened to it a whole bunch. Yeah, I love this record.
Seems like he was really inspired by that, and I haven't read it, the book Guitar Army. Have any of you guys read that book?
No, I have not, no.
Mm-hmm.
He considers it his holy book, and it from my gathering, it seems like it inspired him to take the approach of just like doing one or two takes and capturing something, as opposed to working and reworking and reworking. Capture something and release it and move on. And it seems like from album to album, he's doing that. Like he's so prolific, and he can change what, like from album to album, what he's doing, how he's presenting himself. And then even within this album, from track
song
to track,
song, man. Yeah.
Song to song. Yeah. It just sounds like he's got an idea. They rehearse it, they cut a take, and then they move on.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's really cool.
It's really interesting.
He's like, here's a song about driving around, having a psychic breakdown. Yeah. It's 8 minutes long. Here you go. And it's great. Sounds awesome.
You were talking about the East Easy Rider and how it didn't grab you.
Sweet, sweet baggy music right here.
I was going to say, I think the reason it was there is because of Happy Mondays.
Absolutely.
There's other tracks on here, like Leper Skin really reminds me of Happy Mondays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Soldier Blue, and that song's baggy as shit.
Yep. It's got that baggy sound.
it needs a belt, definitely.
Rob, what did you think?
I mean, I'm most of these songs are starred. I really enjoyed the ride.
Yeah. It's engaging the whole time, right?
It was great. And then I looked up some of the meanings of the songs, and then I was like, oh, double entendre. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I see what you're talking about now. That's not nearly as fun, but all right. Okay. We're here. It was crazy that Safe Surfer doesn't feel like 8 minutes, and it
doesn't.
Eight fucking minutes.
That is a
long.
Cool track, yeah.
About
Idiot Song of Donkey Kong.
Sex without condoms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought Safe Surfer was sex with condoms.
Oh.
Well, it's about...
Well, do you single, trust Donkey
safe,
Kong?
Safe,
the yeah. single was packaged in condom packaging. Like, it looked like you were buying like a... Like,
so it's about surfing safely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as it should be.
Fair. I thought that track 16, Hung Up and Hanging Out to Dry, might be the first appearance of trip hop, but we got a minute to get there. It's a long record, but I didn't see anything that was like nothing pops out as like a
filler trend. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's cool to see like an artist kind of like, you know, stretch and stretch he does.
On yeah. this. The only one I was kind of like, where are we going with this is Western Front 1992.
Ooh, that's a cool track.
It like opens with a recording from a French anti-war demonstration. And then it has like these female vocal singers. It all washed down when it rains. And I was like, what is like, did I skip to a different album? Like, where am I? What's going on? And then, but I was like, yeah, okay. It does fit the, it's like an interlude, you know, like some of those.
There's so much collage in this that it can be disorienting, or it kind of like it engages you again because it's like jarring from what's around it, right?
Yeah.
So totally.
Yeah. If you listen to it on Spotify, depending on the version, like the deluxe version is over 2 hours long.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I would check it out. I would check it out. I don't know if that's what I would prefer to spin. Not on the regular basis. I normally would not want to check out a 2 hour version of an album, but this album in particular, I kind of want to hear like what was on the editing floor of this one.
Yeah.
Because it could be anything.
Yeah, that's literally. True. Yeah. It could be wild.
Man, so I was already digging this album. First listen, first four tracks, already feeling very positive on it. And then Hanging Out and Hung Up on the Line hits my ears, and it's just such, it just grabs me by the butt and says, let's rock.
Yep.
That grabs song your butt?
Yeah, and it's like, let's rock. No, but yeah, it's such a just a great, just straightforward rock song. You know how I feel about that. It's got that awesome, just like floating guitar riff, like just like, oh man, just I just really, that song is a rave up.
What song are we on now?
This is the one that sounds like the cramps, which is fucking fun.
Yeah. Oh,
that's the one that has two stars next.
Doesn't this sound like the Cramps?
Yeah. Yes, I didn't make that connection on my own. But now that you say so, absolutely. That may be what grabbed my ear initially, you know?
Yeah.
Looks like I'm hanging out and hung up on a line.
Yeah, it has the old, what would you say, slapback, like, on the vocals.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
No, I love it. This is...
I want to cover this song. This song rules.
It's fun.
No, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for the most part of this album was about... environmental issues, which I found really fascinating, as he was very, you know, concerned with environmentalism and also against automobiles. He wrote an entire album after this called Autogeddon, which was a diatribe against car culture, based on the Heathcote Williams poem that characterizes the motor car's global death toll as a quote, humdrum Holocaust, the Third World War nobody bothered to declare.
Yeah.
That also was reflected on Drive, Baby Drive, or Drive, She Said, sorry. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about how he didn't know how to drive because he didn't see the need for it. And this woman she's like, I'd rather drive, you know, what are you doing, crawling around on the ground there? Which I found just fascinating that he was like, no, he's like a true, true hippie. It's not just that he's playing psychedelic music. Mm-hmm. He's also
very
engaged.
There aren't any more of him in the book, probably, no, right? No. Like he's like a respected antiquarian of like Neolithic and Megalithic books. Like he's written all these important books about sites in England and Europe from that era.
He's an antiquarian.
Yeah. And he just seems like very fascinating, very into paganism and occultism, right? So that goes hand in hand with kind of a focus on environmentalism and a rejection. Like I think what I read was this album has a lot about rejecting organized religion or the pitfalls of that. And like Thatcherism, obviously, like the leper skin. He's calling Thatcher an apostolic hag, right?
Yeah.
It's like this response to this political orientation that's very abrasive to him, right? Gathers a lot of different elements to it. But
I want Julian Cope to be my rock and roll shaman. He knows what's up. He's tapped in. I went down a wormhole the first day I was reading about Julian Cope, because all I knew was, oh, he's the guy from Teardrop Explodes.
Sure.
I'm sure like our listeners in the UK are more familiar than we are of the Welsh Aberfan disaster of 1966. So Julian Cope was there as a kid. He was staying at a relative's house when this happened. This Welsh town was at the bottom of it was in the valley of, and on the hillsides was a huge coal mining operation, and they'd mine out the coal and they'd put all the like the earth that they'd displaced, and they were making basically false tops on top of this hillside of just earth and debris. And one of them, they put it just happened to be on top of a natural spring. And they were having a big rainy season, and the inside of this like 100-foot tall debris pile is just turning to liquid because it's on top of a spring, and eventually it just passes its tipping point. The whole thing liquefies, goes down the mountainside, and demolishes a school.
It's demolishes all full of children, and they all die.
It's all full of children. They almost all die. It happened right after 9 a.m. It happened like while the teachers were calling roll.
Jesus.
And
it's horrifying.
It destroys like several blocks of this small town, but primarily the elementary school takes a direct hit. And man, I was reading about this Aberfan disaster for like a few days. I just kept on reading.
Wait, so he was there?
He was in town that day visiting relatives. He wasn't at the school,
but he
was a school-aged kid.
Yeah, of course.
At that town, Jesus. On the day where all of the entire generation of kids his age was basically wiped out for that town because of the coal mining company.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that experience had such a lasting impact on him. And now like he's writing about like, all these environmental issues and stuff, you know. I like when I was reading his bio, I was not expecting to go down that kind of wormhole. I had no idea that had even happened, you know, let alone that he was like there and like the same age as the kids who were dying.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, he brings in a lot of, I think that's what always impressed me too, with a lot of, you know, people writing lyrics who are thinking more like he's well read, and he also projects those things into songs like these. But he's also he likes a good laugh, right? Like like Peggy Suicide is just Peggy Sue,
right?
Yeah. It's a
play on that.
Yeah.
So you know he's not above doing like a Frank Zappa style song.
It's not totally all sorrow and gravity, right? But I do feel like the more hippie-ish elements of it strike better with me because there's a lot about like political action and like looking at solutions instead of just, you know, jamming out. So,
man, I kind of just want to sit and listen to Safe Surfer. It's really good.
It's a good jam.
Yeah, there's some other like really good ones. Surfer Blue, which is has a
Soldier Blue, sorry, the one about cops.
Yeah, Soldier Blue. Soldier Blue, which is about cops, features samples from Lenny Bruce's live album, and then also mixes in samples for the poll tax riot.
Island Records refused to release it because it was too political.
Wasn't he also like a prominent figure during the poll tax riots? Wasn't he like parading down the street in a costume and stuff like that? He was there.
Participated in the riots. The protests.
Had to be there recording. Yeah.
That's true. Well, he could be using someone else's recording, but I don't think he is. You know?
But yeah, I loved reading about him this week too, of all the different things. I think he's one of those artists that, you know, we probably just haven't had as much exposure with over here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really wonderful.
Have you seen that picture of him just like in the pastoral English countryside with his like black leather captain's hat and black leather vest and sleeveless Noi shirt and like big black leather gauntlets, just like standing there in the English countryside looking intimidating?
No, that sounds about right though.
All right, well, I just shared it to the chat, so
thank you.
Oh yeah, that's a cool looking dude right there.
That's one cool dude.
Wearing his Noi shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote a book about krautrock. He's just
fucking awesome.
I know.
He did like a Japanese rock and roll one too. Yeah.
Man, this guy's fucking amazing.
I want to
hang out with Julian Cope, and I want him to be my shaman.
Yeah.
Happy living is very strong. Beautiful love now, beautiful love. Where have you gone? You make my life go so long.
What you jumping to?
Beautiful Love.
All
right. Ooh, I like that one. That one was that's a hit right there.
That was the single, and it has stars by it for me.
Yeah.
More than that, Cake.
I enjoy the band
Spoon. If anybody's familiar with Spoon.
Oh, yeah.
This is exactly them.
I hear Spoon and Cake.
Spoon.
It's a perfect combination.
Vocal. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, fork and cake, ideally.
I don't know. I kind of want to eat everything with a spoon like a child.
That's fair.
That's why I don't like adult contemporary music.
But yeah, I Beautiful Love was really good. I didn't like it at first, actually. I was like, what is this sing-songy, like, they think they can be, the Beatles? Shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't think he could be Obadiah with that. And then I was like, it's starting to grow on me. All right.
They got me.
The horns come in, the brass. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And speaking of British Invasion, track 8, Drive, She Said, gave me big, like, 60s British Invasion vibes.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. We're getting into the 90s. Yeah, this is right the era, right before Oasis, right at the Happy Mondays. Like we're in that 90s psychedelic. You're right. When you say he knows what's going on, he's like right there. He knows exactly what's going to happen. Like he has his like finger on the pulse. He does it again, too. I listened to his 92 and Jehovah Kill, right? Like all those other Autogeddon, like when I started listening to those, I was like, wait, he's like several years ahead of everyone else. When you listen to those albums, it feels like
it's like he's pressing forward based on what he hears.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then
is he making something right now so we can learn what
will
happen 2 years from now?
Not for a couple years, but he had something in I can't remember the name of it. He has so many albums too. That's the
so
crazy thing.
Many. I'm the just clicking through them right now.
The fact that this was the seventh one, and that they were like, "This is the one where he establishes his sound." I'm just like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
There are six where he hasn't yet. Like, because this, I mean, there's a sound to this that feels coherent to me, but it's also kind of a little all over the place. Right?
So he has at least 31 solo albums, not counting his tenure in Teardrop Explodes.
Jeez
Louise.
Yeah.
My gracious.
And I would like to hear all of them. I would like to hear at least once.
Yeah.
Everything he's released.
It was, I think it was Black Sheep, or it's either You Got a Problem. It's one of the ones like in the early 2000s, and I was like, oh my gosh, he was there before The Strokes, Mooney, Suzuki. It sounds like that.
Ooh.
And I was just like, holy shit.
Cool.
This guy like knew what was up.
That's what I'm saying. We have to figure out what he's making right now so we can make it too.
Yeah, there's one photo of him on the Wikipedia that like from 04 where he just looks like a 25-year-old like dude from Mastodon.
I yep. mean,
oh yeah, with the green guitar. Is that the one you're talking about?
He sounds like a cult. Yeah. He probably has some secrets, right?
Yep.
Yeah, just like no salt in that paprika. It's just a fucking rad beard and like glorious hair.
Cool.
I want to hang out with Julian Cope. I want to learn his secrets. I want him to guide me.
You will pay $9.99 a month.
I would watch his Zoom calls.
I would pay $10 American a month to sit in on a Zoom call monthly with Julian Cope. That sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Amazing. All right. What's the tracks then? What's the mix? If you had to chop it. Also, I should ask.
Chop it.
Mm. Yeah. Is this a double album? Does it have to be a double album?
I think so. I think it has to be, and I think what helps it is its lack of cohesion.
Yeah. I've said that before, but people have...
So what's cool is I feel like Hung Up and Hanging Out to Dry like calls back Hanging Out and Hung Up on the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
of course.
It's like he's still working within the mode of album. Like there are still through lines that you can follow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd cut it.
Similar titles, very different songs.
Right, totally.
I maintain, Birch, I'm with you a little bit on this one. The structure of a double album is 3-4 songs, get up, flip, 3-4 songs, get up, flip, or get up, replace.
Yeah.
And the CD format doesn't give that rest time. So with that, I understand, like, maybe there should maybe... Like,
no, I didn't say that.
Well, but we've talked about it before, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to put words in your mouth.
Okay.
but yeah, like, I really don't think there's much to cut, man. Like, that. If You Love Me At All doesn't have a star. The America Light doesn't have a star. Other than that, I'm all in on the entirety of the record.
I am too. I think mm-hmm. it works well. It stretches. It kind of shows me too. I know Ben, you're a big fan of the Or. You guys are big fans.
Yeah, Skip Spence, man. Shit's fucking incredible.
Sid Barrett and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I think this shows definitely me what if he had his like if everything was like in place for him to be super productive. I feel like this is that right. It like
yeah.
It shows you exploring into all avenues, exploring the room, still being like very contemporary with like the sort of baggy we're talking about, sort of like looped music and things like that. Well, so I think it works.
He's got his finger on the pulse, and he hasn't lost his mind to fucking. That's the big difference. Like the poor Skip Spence.
Yeah,
you know, like that.
Not that Julian Cope didn't experiment.
No, but he didn't.
He has expanded his mind without losing it.
Yeah, he didn't have the predilection to schizophrenia.
Yeah,
as it was diagnosed back then.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it works well as a double.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Go for it.
I didn't get bored or feel like I wanted it to be over any sooner than it was. Yeah. I really enjoyed it the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Big fan right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys all on the positive then?
Absolutely.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I am too. All right, next time we'll be talking about Gangstar, Step in the Arena.
Woo!
All right, thanks,
Woo-hoo!
Y'all.
All right.
That's a great record. Thank you.